Welcome to the Greater Church Podcast. We are praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message will be an encouragement and blessing to you. And now, here's today's message.
Right here on the screens, you're going to see it. We're going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians, and it's the same scripture we're going to be using for the rest of this series. And it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Come on, that's the cornerstone. That's what we're standing on for this series. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Over the next few minutes, I want to speak to you from this idea, planted in prayer. Planted in prayer. Come on, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to be able to come to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would remove me out of the equation, Lord God, and that you would speak clearly, Lord. That you would speak strongly today to us, Jesus. Father, we need you, Lord. We want to hear from you, Lord. Father, remove me out of the equation, Lord. I pray that as we learn, Jesus, these strategies that you taught us to pray, that you would bless our life, Lord God, that you would enlarge our capacity, Lord God, our territory. Father, I pray more importantly than anything that we can get, I pray that there is a smile on your face, Lord, as your children spend time with you, Jesus. Lord, I love you and I thank you for everything that you've done so far, Lord. And I'm excited to watch everything that you will continue to do, Lord. It's in your beautiful name that we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, one more time. Would you put your hands together for Jesus all over this place? That's good. Thank you. Planted in prayer. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were able, me and my wife and the kids, we were able to go spend some time with her brother up in North Carolina. And we had what we called chasing waterfalls, and that's what we were doing. We were going from place to place, and it was fun, and I'll talk about it later on. But we I don't know how we managed to do this, especially in the pandemic that we're in today. We were able to locate or to find a pool, like an above-ground pool. We were able to buy one. It's crazy. In this moment, you can't find those things anywhere right now. The little kiddie pools that you find at Walmart, people selling that junk for $100 right now. That's how expensive it is. And we were able to get a pool, thank God. And here it was that I thought to myself, oh, this is cake. Like, we're just going to buy the pool, I told my wife, and we'll just set it up, put some water in it, and let the kids jump in. Well, little did I know what it takes to have an above-ground pool. I will recommend to you as your pastor, don't get no above-ground pool. Yo, we literally had to get, first we had to go to Home Depot because we were noticing that with Piqui Pala, I didn't curse, that was Spanish, I promise. With a shovel, yo, we could not level this thing out. So we had to go to Home Depot and we had to rent a tiller and we had to till this thing up. And shout out to Jason and Don and Jordan who came out and my son Jadale. And yo, we had to till this thing up and then we had to even it out with rakes. 4 days later, we were able to finally get the pool on there and put some water in it. And thank God, you know, my wife, we were talking about us starting something or us beginning something. And she's like, babe, it takes so much work. Look at what happened with the pool. And I was like, babe, stop. I said, can you jump in the pool right now? She said, yeah. I said, well, then we got a pool and the work didn't matter because now you can get in the pool whenever you want and the work doesn't matter. We went on this trip and little did I know that you had to actually maintain the pool. When we came back, we probably spent a couple of weeks without getting into the pool. And bro, when I went into that pool and I looked at it, and we took the top off, there was like little worms and like little animals and like leaves and dirt. It took my wife, it took her about a week to clean, to shock the pool, to vacuum the pool, to clean it again. It took us all because the filter that we had connected to it wasn't circulating the water. So this filter, what it does is it catches the empty or the ugly water, the nasty water. It begins to clean it up and then shoot out the filtered water. And it's crazy. We didn't have the filtered on. And yo, the pool was green. And thank God we were able to get it back to shape. And we did some testings. And shout out to Don who went all the way to Leslie's pool. And he's talking to the guy. It was a hassle. What's funny about that is that I saw my life in that. I saw my life that when I start lacking in prayer, when I start lacking in spending time with God, it feels as if I start getting a little dirty. I start getting madder quicker. I start having thoughts that I shouldn't be having. I start forgiving less. It starts being harder for me to let things go. My water starts getting polluted and muddy because I don't have this filtration system. The filtration system is prayer. And if I can talk to you today and I can speak to your heart, I will hope that today you would connect to this filtration system and that you would allow for God to begin to clean you by way of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we just read it, here is this idea that God has created for us to remain in prayer. Why? Because you are just like that pool. Like, yo, under your own circumstances, the pool couldn't clean itself. It needed a filter to be able to process and get the junk out of it. And many times we think, yo, I can clean myself and I can figure this thing out on my own. And God has never created you to operate under your own natural circumstances or your own natural ability. No, you need supernatural ability to be able to do the things that God has asked you to do. For you to maintain your life and for you to have a clear life, you need to be connected to the Word of God. You need to be connected through prayer to God. This idea for us to pray without ceasing, or what it was saying in 1 Thessalonians, that idea of praying continually or praying always, yo, that's one of the hardest things in the world to do, because if you begin to think about it, yo, that means that 24 hours a day, I need to be praying at all times. In reality, I don't think it says that you need to be praying 24 hours a day. I think that it says you need to be praying in every circumstance. Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest evangelists, an incredible, powerful man of God who led revivals, he said in a quote, I never spend more than 20 minutes praying, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. Because it's important that we stick to God and that we spend time with God, that we develop this relationship, being in His presence, where, yo, this thing called prayer, it begins to clean us and filtrate us and put us in a correct spot. Here's what I want you to see, and I want you to understand it. In just a second, I'm going to preach this message. And for some of us, bro, we're going to hear this message, and whether we're watching online or we're here on site, we're going to hear this message, and we're going to say, I know I'm going to do better. Man, I got to do better. I got to pray more. I haven't been praying the way that I need to. And we have these touch points because we get back into it, and we're like, yo, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do more. I just, you know, we feel this condemnation. We feel this guilt. Yo, what if we switch that, and what if we enjoyed prayer? What if this was something that actually was a part of us and that, yo, we loved to spend time with God? Here's what happens. Christianity, in what it is right now, especially in the South, Christianity's tricky. Because Christianity begins to tell you that you have God, right? And God is all holy and all sovereign, and He's amazing on Sundays. But then we have our real life when we walk out of here on Sundays and we live Monday through Saturday, and we begin to differentiate, we begin to separate the two as if the two can't coexist together. When in reality, God, Jesus, should be taken into our regular life Monday through Saturday. That Christianity is not something that we operate in and of our own strength, but that we actually have a God that we walk with every single day. God didn't call us. I want you to understand that God didn't call us to be Sunday Christians. That's not who He wants to. You're missing a big gap. Yo, I don't want to be that legalistic, weird pastor. Oh my God, you know, they talk to him, pastor, sinners, and go to hell. Listen, man, I want you to understand that it's more about you spending time with God, having a relationship with God, being able to spend intimate moments with God, than it is you doing something because you have to do it. Because that turns out to be just a religious act. When a relationship is what God is asking for you, it's what He wants, to spend intimate time with you. I want you to turn in your Bible, and you're going to see it right here in John chapter 15, because here it is that I believe that this is the word that God has given to us today. And I believe that it's this word called remain. Everybody say remain. Remain. Come on, if you're online, do me a favor, and would you type into the text chat remain? Come on, would you put in there remain? John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. I want you to read this. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This idea of praying always is about being connected to God. It's being connected to the fruit. That when you're connected to God, you'll begin to bear fruit. Your marriage looks better. Your job looks better. The ideas, your creativity looks so much better. But when you take God out of the equation, you find yourself in a space where it's not as good as it used to be. Where the things and the ideas, you don't have the connection that you have. Things don't look the same. There's a void, there's an emptiness because you're not connected to God. But yo, I can promise you that the moment that you plug back in and you get the filter kind of going, things begin to change even inside of you. You start feeling different. You start looking at things different. It's this idea of being connected to God and remaining. How do we remain? I want to give you three things, and I want you to write this down. Uber practical, this message today, I promise you that it's going to be able to help you. And what I want you to do is I want you to move from a state of, oh my God, I'm going to do better, Chino. I don't want to do that no more. I promise I'm going to change, to enjoying prayer. And here's my homework for you. Write this down at the top of it. I just want you to do what I'm telling you here today. Just try it for 7 days. And I want you to come back on Sunday or watch online. If you're not feeling well, you got to call for a fever. Praise the Lord. Stay your behind home. But if you're healthy, make sure you're in church. Everybody online. Praise God. But yo, what I want you to do is that I want you to come back. I want you to have a conversation with me. And over the next 7 days, if you apply this, I just want to know what God does in your life, because I'm believing that it's that powerful what God can do. Number one, I want you to write this down. How to remain. Number one, prioritize prayer. Prioritize prayer. When we built that pool, we had to till the land. We had to even that mug out. Then we had to put plastic on top of it. Then we had to put these little cushions on top of it. Then we had to actually put the pool in. We had to put the pool and we had to separate the pool because it had wrinkles inside of it. We had to add a little bit of water, do it. Then we had to put mulch around it and dirt to be able to compact it. Then we were able to build the pool, and then we were able to put water. But if I would have never leveled the ground, if we would have never leveled the ground, then the pool, when we put water in it, could have been sideways and it couldn't fix itself. It would have been sideways. What will happen if it's sideways is that my kids, Ramses and Levi and Abigail and Jadale, they wake up in the morning on 10. They are natural Red Bull. Like, yo, the energy drink comes out of their blood. So them playing around in this thing, that pool would have bust and I would have had 4 murder charges. Take that from the tape. Don't take that off the tape. But y'all, they would have been in real trouble. But my pool would have bust if I wouldn't have taken the first thing, which was prioritizing the leveling of it. And yo, that's the idea that I'm trying to present to you here today, that you would prioritize the first thing, because God always blesses the first thing. When you wake up in the morning and you don't turn to Instagram, Facebook, email, or even have a conversation in your brain about something, but that you begin to talk to God the moment that you wake up. And yo, I'm not telling you that you got to spend an hour, 3 hours. I'm not giving you a time. I don't think it's about the length. I think it's about the attention. That if you focus and say, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. There's a lot of people right now that an iPhone, that an Android, that an alarm clock is not going to wake up. But I'm grateful, Father, that you woke me up, that there's blood in my body, that I have a heartbeat. Lord, thank you. That the moment that you begin to focus on God, that the moment that you begin to put him first, yo, whatever you put first, you put the most attention onto. Whatever you prioritize, it begins to grow. If you prioritize on your health and you begin to try to lose weight, you're going to lose weight. Look, Mimi is like, the queen of that. Y'all need to holler at her because she out here training people and getting them right. But she prioritized it. The things that you prioritize, the things that you put first are always going to grow. I think God is always a God of the first. Yo, that's why he tells you it's not when you give of your tithes and your offering. Yo, it's not to finance a building or to finance a church. Like, God finances a church. God takes care of his own church. It's about saying, it's not that I'm giving my money to an organization. It's that I'm putting you first, Lord, that before Visa gets my money, before my landlord gets my money, Lord, that I want to give to you. Whether you belong in Greater Church and you call Greater Church your home or you find another home, you need to make sure that you're giving first to the house of God before you give anything, because you're giving to God. This is the first. It's the principle of the first. It's the principle that God operates by, that we prioritize prayer. I want you to write this down. I want you to try this week. For some of us, we have a calendar, whether you're on Google, whether you're on your phone, or maybe you just have an agenda that you actually write and you actually write stuff down. I would challenge you to prioritize prayer. Put it on your schedule. Put it on your calendar. If you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, yo, get up at 6:30 and just give God those extra 30 minutes. If you prioritize it and you put it in your calendar, the very same way that you go to sleep early because you got an appointment the next day will be the very same way that God, who is way more important than a boss, a hookup, an intermediate relationship, God is so much bigger than that, that you will prioritize him and you will say, yo, I'm gonna go a little bit earlier to bed. Yo, let's go hang out. Let's go to the movies. I can't. You don't gotta tell him why you can't. I just know that I gotta get up because I gotta spend time with God. Yo, just do it for 7 days. That's what I'm asking. Try it for 7 days and watch how God answers in the things that he does. When you prioritize him, you're going to start watching. The Bible says, draw unto me and I will draw unto you. Spend the next 7 days and just, I promise you that your entire life is going to change. You're going to watch as God moves in such a beautiful way. No, in such a beautiful way. Number one, prioritize prayer. Number two, find a place to pray. I'm gonna write this down. Find a place to pray. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus is talking, and the Bible says, and he withdrew to a certain place to pray. Scholars and theologians, the people who kind of study the Bible, they say that the place that he went the most to be able to pray was the Garden of Gethsemane. It's crazy because I thought the Garden of Gethsemane was like I thought it was like tombstones and like low-laying fog and like dirty and just like. Because I think about it, and it's like the death of Jesus. It's like right before, that's the only time we hear about it, and we think that's it. But the Garden of Gethsemane is one of the most beautiful places that you would ever see. Not only is it a plush garden with amazing flowers and incredible scenery, but it actually has an outlook to Jerusalem where you can see the entire city. And I believe that Jesus would spend his time there praying for people and praying for the city. He spent time and he found the place. If I'm honest with you, when I was a kid, not so long ago because I'm only in my 20s, yo, that's so disrespectful. Maybe in my 20s if I want to. I got one more year. Actually, a couple months before I'm 40. Praise God. Listen, my idea that I was, and I completely forgot what I was about to say. When I was growing up, we had two places. This is what we were always told. You had home. This is a place where you spent the most time. You had home if you were in school. You had school if you were at work. You had work. And those were the two places that you kind of spent the most time at. Those were the two places that growing up we had. Like, you spent most of your time, your energy in those two places. It's crazy because now in this generation, we have a third place. And that third place is the virtual place. And yo, I'm not speaking against virtual places. Thank you for watching on Facebook right now. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Thank you for looking online at greater.church/watch online. I want you to go online. But what I want you to understand is that do not let that place consume you. Do not let that place, don't let that platform be the place that you go to before prayer. Don't let that platform overtake you and put you in a place where you're sedating yourself and you're trying to learn and you're trying to grow and educate yourself, but you find yourself scrolling through there for 35 minutes, for 45 minutes, and then you say, I'm gonna stop at 12:30 at night. And God, I'm gonna get up in the morning, I promise, at 1:30. Okay, it's 1:27, at 1:30 I'm gonna stop. All right, y'all. That's just not me. And I'm gonna stop, Lord, and I'm gonna start praying. And I'm gonna lock in, Lord. Yo, don't spend your time in that virtual place. Christians, we have this term, and it's called our prayer closet. And for some of us, it is a closet where you go in there. For some time, I had my closet where I would actually go in my closet. I'd sit down, but then my back started hurting. I didn't really have a chair. You can't put no chair in there because my wife has too much clothes. That's a lie. I have a lot of clothes, and I can't sit there. And I'm like, yo, I didn't like being there. Over this season, especially since we got this place, you are actually sitting in my prayer closet. I've been praying for you in this place by name. I've been believing God for you by name in this place. And man, and Don has been coming here at 6 o'clock in the morning, every single morning. We get up at 5 and we wipe the coal out our eyes. Shout out to Biggie. And we'll come here and we'll pace up and down. And this is our prayer closet. And we'll put some music on. And at 7 o'clock, Nuns and I know Mimi and obviously Lukey and Fonzo and there's different people and Allison come. And we come here and we pray for you at 7 o'clock in the evening. That these prayer times are not just something that we're doing just to do, but yo, this is my prayer closet. This is where I spend time interceding for you, believing for you, fighting for you, because I know that God is listening. Find a place, because if you find a place, you're going to find structure. You're going to find consistency. This is where I'm going to be at. I'm going to spend my time here. I promise you, I can't get up in the morning and the first thing I do is turn my phone on, because if I do that, yo, my day has gone out the window. I'm not spending time with God. I'm lost through Instagram and answering emails and... Yo, I can't, I'm way too freaking ADD, y'all, to be sitting there trying to do something else. I can't go in my car and drive and be praying. I'll be like, Father, I love you. I think, go, bro. Not you, God, not you. I was talking to him. But you go too, Lord. Go in Jesus' name. I'm just way too ADD. But I've noticed that if I carve out the time, if I prioritize it, if I actually make a place. And my place before this was in my couch downstairs by myself. I make me a little pour over coffee that Jason showed me how to do. And I'll sit there with my little coffee and I'll just lean in and I'll spend some time with God. But you got to prioritize prayer and you got to find a place to pray. Number three, I want you to write this down. Number three, develop a plan. Develop a plan. Anything meaningful, you develop a plan for. Jordan... If he goes on a date, I guarantee that Jordan just doesn't say, hey, Sierra, I'm going to pick you up. I'm putting your business out there. Just I'm going to pick you up, and we're just going to figure it out. Let the Lord lead you. No, bro. Like, you have a plan. Yo, we're going to go to the movies. I'm going to take you to eat. In the pandemic, we just going to sit in the car and talk. Like, yo, like, you got tested? But listen, you take time. You take time, and you prioritize. But it's meaningful to you. Because now you're developing a plan. Yo, I didn't propose to my wife and just like flick her the ring and say, boom, girl, you me. me and you forever, for life. Let's go. West Side. Like, what? No, bro. Like, I sat down and I took time with that junk. I spent time planning this thing and writing this thing out. And when she calls it, I'm going to blow her mind, bro. The moment she walks in, she's going to see me. I got to make sure my pants are right. I got to hit the USA flea market. RIP to the USA flea market in Miami. I'm going to get right. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be drove. She's going to be like, oh, my God, I love him. He looks so beautiful. Yo, anything that's meaningful to you, you plan. You don't go into a business meeting or a business venture without having a business plan. Like, yo, that's not the way this works. Parents, you can amen me right now. If you're watching online, I just want you right now, just put it in the text chat, just the hands up or the praying hands, because we're praying for you, just like I hope you're praying for me. Yo, you don't approach this virtual schooling thing and just say, I ain't got no plan. Jit, here, go to Wi-Fi password, figure that junk out. That's not the way that you work this thing. You got to look at the curriculum. My wife has been spending, yo, days and weeks on end searching and getting emails from the teachers. And, yo, the last 2 days, we were sitting in Walmart and Target to what, babe? They closed. They closed Walmart. We're still talking to the man trying to figure out where we could find a primary journal. What is a primary journal, bro? Give me a, bro, we had paper and a pen and a pencil. And our pencil was, like, that thick. You know what I'm saying? Like, now they got to have different types because, you know, the ergometry and, you know, we want to make sure they're ergonomically correct with their pen. Yo, what? Like, carpal tunnel is a thing. Like, what? Give them a freaking pen and tell them to write. And now they got to do it on a computer. Yo, anything that is meaningful, anything that's actually meaningful, you got to take time and you got to plan it. Yo, this is the very same thing that we do when we serve God, that it takes time for us when we bring this to God, especially during our prayer time, that we actually sit down and plan this thing out. If you go on the website, greater.church/pray21, we've taken time to plan and to help you with some resources, because every single day we have prayer focuses that we begin to pray, and every single day you have a prayer point. On that Pray 21, we have a soap reading journal where you can go, every one of us, we read, and we read the same scripture. We've been in the story of Jeremiah, and we wrapped up the book of John together. Hopefully you've been following along with us, greater.church/pray21, and together we've been reading this thing, and we come here and we share our soaps, but these soaps are meant for you to read and for you to begin to pray. Father, here it is that you said that if I love you, if I abide in you, then I will love others. Father, help me to love others. Help me to love the people that get on my nerves today, Lord. Help me to love the people that I don't want to love. But I begin to pray and I begin to spend time with God and I start diving into what it looks like. When you take resources and you take a list, and I got a prayer list. And there's your names on that prayer list. There's actually a focus that I have, that I sit down and, Lord, this is where I want to go. When you put that much intention and when you put that much thought and that much focus into it, yo, you get God's attention. Yo, he sits back and he says, what? Like, yo, you got a piece of paper that's blank because you want to write down whatever I tell you? Because you really want to listen to me? Yo, why would he not speak? Bring some resources. Get a plan together. Spend some time with God. Journal while you're in that prayer closet. Get that time and carve it out to God. It's going to turn around from, oh my God, I got to finish. Oh my God. You know, when you like, you're scrolling on your phone and you're looking to see when the chapter ends so you can keep reading. I'm by myself on that. Or when you're reading the Bible and you see how many more pages we got in this chapter. Dang. I'm the only person that does that right here. It'll go from that. And that, oh my God, I gotta finish, to like, yo, I need more time. I got more that I gotta say to God. I got more that I wanna talk to him about. I got more that I wanna read. Yo, hold on, what happened to Jeremiah? This man was running around butt naked. Like, hold on, I need to see the culmination of this. What happened right now? Like, I wanna spend time, I wanna hear about this. And it's because you prioritized it, because you planned it, because you actually developed a plan. Last week, we talked about this prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And it was praying like Jesus, and it was the way that Jesus prayed. And I want to cover this real quick, because if you weren't here, I want you to see this, because Jesus actually gave us a plan. We think that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory. We think that that's a prayer that Jesus said, pray this. Jesus didn't say pray this. He told his disciples, when the disciples saw him praying and they were like, yo, that looks different than me, who I am a Jew. I've learned prayers. I've studied prayers. I had to memorize prayers religiously because of my religion. But now I'm watching you and you're praying completely different. They were listening to him. He wasn't repeating the same jargon. In fact, he had a strategy, and that's the strategy that we talked about last weekend. Last weekend was Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to look at these seven different outlines real quick that we're gonna fly through because I want you to see it. Jesus said, our Father, approach him relationally. He's not your boss. You don't have to work for him. You don't get a, this isn't like a cause and response thing. This isn't the way that God works. This isn't cause and effect. Like you do something and God does something for you. This is not a formula. You don't manipulate God and you don't earn your way to God. God has already freely given everything that you have. He has called you his son and daughter. Hallowed be thy name. Worship him. One of the ways that I like to worship him by name. Jehovah Jireh, I know you're my provider. Jehovah Sitkinu, I know that you're my sanctifier. I know you're my righteousness. I know you're my healer. I know you're my peace. Begin to worship him. Number three, your kingdom come. Pray for other people. Have a list of some people that you pray. Pray for some people that get on your nerves. Amen. Begin to bless people that you can't stand and watch God how much he blesses you. Begin to pray for your leaders, local leaders, government leaders, political leaders. Begin to pray for them and watch as God starts providing and blessing you. Give us our daily bread. Begin to pray for your own needs. Number five, forgive us of our debts. You need to repent. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And I pray, Father, that you would also forgive those who have sinned against me, Lord. And I already released them. I forgive them, Lord. And I actually forgive them in advance. Yo, marriage folks, this is a great tip for you to do. Have an advance, I already forgive you card. Ready and available. So when your spouse, your husband, or your wife gets on your nerve, yo, you already forgave them in advance. Live that way, and I promise you that's going to change the game for you. Number six, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In every single moment, we took 8 weeks in our last series to talk about spiritual warfare. And if you haven't seen it, you can go back and you can listen to those messages. But spiritual warfare, especially in this season, what I think the Christian body is supposed to be engaged in, that you would put on the belt of truth, that you would put on the righteousness of God, the breastplate of righteousness, that you would put on the helmet of salvation, that you would put on the shield of faith, that your feet would be shod with the preparation and readiness of the preaching of the gospel of peace, that you would have the sword, which is the word of God, that you would have and you would arm yourself with the shield of faith, that you would put anointing oil on that junk. So when the Satan tries to throw those little fiery darts, they would be extinguished, that you would spend time in spiritual warfare, that you would pray for your finances. It just won't let the devil have his way. And I'm just broke and I'm just poor and I just can't get ahead. And I spend all my money on this business and I can't do anything. Yo, that's a satanic attack and entanglement into your finances that you need to begin to pray and break the devil's back on that your marriage and your finances and your family, you feel like, yo, I can't get through this. I feel like I take 2 steps forward and I take 10 steps back. I stop watching porn for a month, but then the next month I'm already back into it. And I feel like I'm going into this cycle because Satan has you by, praise the Lord. But if you begin to fight, if you begin to operate in spiritual warfare, you're going to start watching this disentanglement. Shout out to Jada Pinkett. Oh, Jada Smith. What's her name now? I don't know. I know her by Jada Pinkett. But you'll watch as you start spiritually fighting for your family, fighting for your kids, fighting for your marriage. You'll watch as God starts doing the work. And last but not least, he ends this thing by saying, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Worship God. The kingdom belongs to God. The power, the strength, it belongs to God. The glory, it belongs to God. He's done enough to earn the glory. He's done enough to earn the power. He's done enough to reestablish his kingdom. And if we take these seven prayers, this is a great plan for you to spend time with God, that you would pray with him relationally, that you would worship him, that you would pray for others, that you would pray for your needs, that you would repent and forgive people, that you would engage in spiritual warfare, and that finally you would actually worship him. This is what happens. This is the way that you remain in him. This is the way that you remain in him. I'm saying touch her so she can come play the piano. Like, yeah, that's literally like, I'm like. Amanda's like, I hear you, Lord. Praise the Lord, I remain. Yo, this is the way that you remain in him. I mentioned to you at the beginning of this message that we went in and we spent some time with Mike, with my brother-in-law, Lydia's brother. And it was super fun, man. We got to go waterfall chasing. And, yo, it was some of the best times because we're just walking in trails. And then we get to a waterfall. And we're, like, jumping off of rocks and doing the most dangerous stuff. Lydia doesn't even want to talk to us. She's mad. I told you not to jump. And then you're doing a backflip. Like, she's already mad. But, like, bro, we're having fun. we're all boys. It's like her and Abby. And Abby's even jumping in. Like, I had to hold her, though. There came this one specific place that it was called Midnight Hole. And Midnight Hole, you had to walk about a mile and a half, close to 2 miles, to get to this space. And we decided, we slept in one day, because that's what you do when you're in other people's house, you sleep in. And I got the idea around 3:30, 4 o'clock. And I said, yo, let's go to Midnight Hole. Let's go walk through the trail and let's go see the waterfall. It's a beautiful waterfall. And then Midnight Hole, what it is, it's a huge rock. And then you jump in and it's just a big hole that goes all the way down. And you can jump in and obviously you won't hurt yourself. And we decided, yo, let's go. And at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, we decide to go. Little did I know that North Carolina in the Smoky Mountains, it looked a little bit like Miami. Like Miami, that every single day at 4, 5, or 6 p.m., there's going to be a torrential downpour. You're not going to get the email that Noah's Ark, the whole deal is happening, but you will walk, and where I'm standing at, I'm getting soaked, and where Nunzi and them are sitting at, they're like dry, and they're like, ha, the devil got you, he didn't get me, and you're super, that's how the rain is, and it's just horrible. It's just like, that's what happened to us. Yo, we're walking in the middle of the woods. We have no idea where we are, and then the mile turns into an hour. 2 hours, and we're just walking, and we're just like, yo, we're gonna get there. Look, I want you to check this video out. Look at this video. This is just
greatest idea to go to Midnight Rock or Falls.
Oh, Midnight Hole
at 4 o'clock. It's storming, thunderstorm until 6 o'clock. We're about 30 minutes into this mile and a half hike. I can't see because my glasses are fogged. Paula, get me out this time. We're out here. And Levi's played every game in the book. We've ducked pounds and mounds of poop. Mommy's there. Abby driving her crazy with Jadel. Out here. Eso no pasa en Hialeah.
I stepped
in. We're out here. And then you got stuff like this. Scary. You know, you just gotta keep walking. Just keep walking.
That was us in that Midnight Hole. And after walking for about 2 hours, we start running. Me and my son, we're like, yo, let's just run ahead and let's see how far we can get. And then I sent them back and I told them, yo, tell them to come, that we kind of got into the place. And I walk up about another 30 minutes. And then finally I get to this and it's like, yo, it's this beautiful waterfall. And you know, it's amazing. It's like in the middle of the Smoky Mountains. It's nuts. You have to walk for like 2.5 hours. And if you look, there's different pictures. And I want you to notice that there was these trees that are like, yo, they're all over the place. And they're planted and they're getting watered. And yo, the streams are just absolutely beautiful. If you look at all of these, like, yo, the rocks are kind of there. And you can see that there's like this white waterfall kind of like deal. And that's the prettiest plant of them all right there. That's my plant. I cultivated that plant right there. I don't even know what that means. Super provocative. I'm sorry. Take that, because it's making me think differently. But look, you see all these trees? In the worst stage of my life, God reminded me something while I was walking through this trail. Yo, it was horrible. Levi was crying. Abigail was cold. It was like, it's different. Right now, it's like, it was probably like 65 degrees, 70 degrees. We're in the rain. I got a tank top on. I don't know what I was thinking on. Like, yo, we were just cold and tired. And I began to think of something, because I remember that in my worst moment that I ever had, one of the first scriptures or ideas that God birthed in me was Psalms chapter 1. And I don't know if you ever read any, y'all remember reading the Daily Bread? Y'all remember getting that, the Daily Bread? And I remember reading in this Daily Bread and the word that God gave me, and I'm talking about, yo, he explained it and he broke it down so beautifully, was found in Psalms chapter 1. And listen what Psalms chapter 1 says. Blessed is the man whose walk is not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Listen to this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I want you to put the trees up again, because I want you to see a clear picture of what it looks like when you plant yourself in prayer. The effects of remaining in him are that you will watch as you begin to flourish. You don't got to do much. You're already planted. God will bring the rain. God will bring the sustenance. God will bring the provision. God will bring the boyfriend. God will bring the girlfriend. God will bring the husband. He'll bring the job. He'll bring the degree. That all you have to do is find yourself planted. And the Psalms 1 says that he who is planted, it's like waters that will come and his leaf will never wither. Whatever he does will prosper. That when you're planted in prayer, when you spend time with God, he takes care of you. For the next 7 days, would you plant yourself in prayer? Would you take some time to prioritize prayer? Would you find a place to pray? Would you spend some time with God and would you develop a plan to actually lean in? I promise you that when you do these things, God's gonna do something incredible. He's gonna bless your life. He's gonna provide for you. He's gonna do the things that he said he would do, because it's not about him giving you anything. It's about you being planted, and all those things will be added unto you, which is what the Bible says. I think this is such a beautiful picture for us, especially. And maybe you're watching online or you're here, and I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God, but I will tell you that before you ever prioritize prayer, before you ever find a place to pray, before you develop a plan, God has already gone ahead of you and done every one of those things. And yo, next Sunday, I'm excited because, yo, I got a word that I want to share with you. That, man, it's just the three persons of God. For some of us, we haven't been taught that they're distinctively different characters and they have different personalities. And if we approach them, because the way that you approach God is always going to dictate how you're going to receive from God and how you're going to look at God, the way that you view him. But, yo, I want to spend some time kind of looking at all of this, because I truly believe that if you begin to spend some time with God, begin to develop this relationship with God, you're going to watch things happen. Before you ever prioritize prayer, prioritize anything, the Bible says that before the foundations of the earth, that there was a lamb that was slain for you. That God prioritized you, that he put you first. That the Bible says that he has 100 sheep, and if one sheep strays, that he goes and he chases after that one sheep, that he prioritizes that sheep. That God already found the place. That God, who is outside of eternity, the Bible says that he stepped into eternity. That he found a gap in time. And he said, I'm going to invest my son into this. He's going to live a sinless life, a perfect life, the one that you cannot live. I'm going to make sure that he teaches you how to walk in his ways. That he teaches you how to pray. That he teaches you how to have a relationship with me. Prioritize. He found the place. Then he developed a plan. And the plan was that that son who was sinless would be betrayed. That he would be beaten. That he would be bruised. That the stripes that I deserve would be placed on him. That not only would he die for me, but that he would die as me. And that he would go on his cross. And that his life would be given as a ransom to God. And that God's wrath would be appeased. Those are just some big words that say that Jesus paid the price so that you wouldn't have to. He went first and he prioritized you. He was the one that established the place. He was the one that developed the plan to save you. So all over this place, would you do me a favor? Would you bow your head and close your eyes?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach and empower all people. We hope that this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please head to our website at www.greater.church, where you can read a message from our pastors, partner with us by giving online, and learn more about what is happening in the life of our church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on all social media platforms.